pirate radio is a really good thing. Don't hate the media, become the media. Pirate radio is a really good thing.
It's Sunday night at 9 p.m. on Rant.
Pirate radio has already gotten powerful enough that our lovely federal government is scared shitless.
That's right, it's Sunday night at 9 p.m. on Rant Radio, and it's time for What the Hell with Drexel and Sumerian. If you like this show, ICQ your friends about it. My ICQ is 51558 to keep informed of the goings-on at Rant Radio. To call into the show, write this number down, 1-877-SAY-RANT, 1-877-SAYRANT. To chat with us during the show, go to www.randradio.com and click on chat. Or if you're IRC savvy, go to the Dialnet servers in the Rant Radio channel. If you want to send death threats, you can email me at info@randradio.com. And now, here's the host of What the Hell, Sumerian!
Hey, noise from the bar today!
Is what they're hearing.
As of right now, What the Hell is broadcasting.
I thought this was called What the Fuck.
Well, it's What the Hell subtitled What the Fuck because James is not here. But Drexel is here.
Please,
actually, it's What the Hell because this is Drexel's show.
This is true. This is Drexel's show. Drexel was not here last week. Yes. Why was that? Why were you not here last week, Drexel?
Because Drexel probably had a fucking life, probably.
I think I was in a really, really, really shitty mood. So shitty that I didn't even...
Well, what happened?
Nobody can hear me anyway.
Well, what?
Okay, Drexel just did a really big rant about how he was in a shitty mood last weekend. That's why he was not here. But he is here this weekend.
Okay, so,
Yeah, can everyone hear Drexel?
I can hear the Drexel.
Drexel, say, turn my mic up to your microphone so we can tell how loud or how not loud you fucking are.
I can hear Drexel just fine.
Can we?
I got the headphones on, and I can hear him fine.
Why do you have the headphones on?
I don't know. Why do I have the headphones?
Give me those fucking headphones.
I always
have
headphones.
We use the plug to get another mic. Because there's an adapter.
I have to talk without headphones. This
just for a little bit. Okay, that's good.
It is. It sounds weird. No, I can do it.
Alrighty then. So I guess we'll start right off the top by panning around. I don't need them. I don't like them. They make my... Oh, okay, I'll turn down the room speakers.
So we get some...
Room speakers!
I want feedback.
What?
I want feedback.
Tough shit. It fucks
Here's
everything
feedback.
Up.
You suck.
With that, we're going to go around the room. We'll start with me. We'll start with the cameraman because no one ever starts with the fucking cameraman. On first base. No, I'm not going to hold on a second. You get on the fucking
Get your ass out there.
Get your ass. Get that cute tuchus out there. And your Tommy Hilfiger jeans. Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know,
okay,
I remember...
Okay, we have Kurt Birch.
I remember this bitch screaming about how he would never wear any, like... fucking Gap jeans or anything like that, and he went out and bought a couple of pairs.
That's because he can. Now, moving right along, we have myself, Sean Kennedy, the fucking man, wearing my very styly, I want to be sedated kind of clothing. And we're going to talk about my sedated tendencies later on. But next we have Media Man, who we dragged here kicking and screaming to make an appearance. Say hello, Media Man.
Hello, Media Man.
You didn't I wasn't kicking and screaming enough, apparently.
Okay, and then we have the Mighty Daxter.
Hello.
Says Modius.
It is Desmond.
Moving right along, we have the guy whose name I can never remember. DJ Psycho.
Hey.
DJ Psycho in the house. Hey. Moving down, we then have the Mighty Chicken. The Chicken.
The cool body art.
With the body augmentations, which we're going to do a feature on, zoom right in on the cool body augmentation.
It is refreshing.
Everyone. On the IRC, take a look at that cool augmentation. He has got, yes, that's right, kids, it's the imperial mark of our divine emperor. The guy who's not afraid to blow up planets. Yes, it's true. You may fire.
The light side, I'm thrown in the dark because they dress cooler.
That's absolutely true. You may fire when ready. And they never have no little kids being their savior, neither. And they would have fucking, Darth Maul would have fucking bent Jar Jar over and shoved it right up his ass. Anyway.
We can only hope we never got to see the death of Jar Jar Binks, which I know we're all praying for because there's rumors of that coming up in one of the second or the third movie.
Moving right along, we have Hammerman. Stand up, Hammerman. And reveal Hammer is sporting the latest in bulletproof fashion. We are going to be talking about that later as well. Right. Yes, Hammerman. We're making him undress because we hit his shirt. So get a good look. Get a good look at Hammerman. He's sexy. All right, moving right along, we have, yes, it's true, the one, the only 200% multi-sexy
projectile
vomit huh? Man. In fine.
Holy cock.
And back for a limited engagement. So limited, we're not even too sure if he's going to ask her. Get it? Limited engagement. And that's an old Bob Deal joke. Anyway, I know.
We have, is that hiding in the kitchen?
We have Private Drexel. Zoom in on Private Drexel.
It's Private Drexel.
And we have...
Is that the bitch?
We have... No, that's...
What?
Is that the bitch?
Is that what you would call yourself? I know who
no,
is
no,
it?
No. Kimberly calls herself the bitch. That is why Desert Ghost is...
Sorry.
That the bitch?
No.
Yeah,
no,
that's
no,
the
no,
bitch.
No.
This is...
Desert want to die.
This is...
Is Desert going to die?
Usa Binks, you not the bitch. Ah! So...
that's right. Raven, I'm sorry. You can basically kick me in the head later on.
But you have to tie him up first, and he gets to wear the zipper mask.
Okay.
That's it. Sweat. Sweat for me. That's it. Sweat. Work it. Sweat. Come on, jiggle. Jiggle a little bit.
Hey, Jello.
Zoom in on some part of skin that she's sewing that she doesn't know. So we can give shower fantasies to all of our listeners for the next 2 months. I wish I was at What the Hell Digger.
I can give them some shower fantasies if you'd like.
Okay. Drexel, give them shower fantasies.
You want to kill the kitchen light, somebody?
Somebody kill the kitchen light.
Look at that.
Holy navel.
Holy navel.
Sexy.
Like a peach.
That's a mutant.
Sexy. Like a mutant peach.
And everybody knows that I want to fuck a mutant peach. Absolutely. Right.
Well, if you don't, then there's something wrong with you.
So let's talk. There's been a lot of major developments this week in our lives anyway.
Whose?
Well, in our lives. For starters, right off the fucking cuff, we have, once again, the chicken got fucking labeled, man. The chicken got some ink happening in a large and in charge kind of way. Did everybody on the IRC happen to see the mighty, ever so mighty, fucking tattoo that the chicken got?
If not, I will proudly display it again.
We will proudly display it. Don't worry, it'll be on the webpage very, very soon. We have it in multi-stages, before, during, and after. So that for all of your viewing...
for pleasure.
Pleasure.
And the fact that there's updated stuff to look at.
That's also true. And when...
No,
of course
will.
Not, because Sumerian's been in the Bahamas. But wait, there's more. It's not sold in any store. In fact, Sumerian is on his way back here right now as we fucking speak. He's
flying his way back to us.
All the way back into this mofo. So...
From the interior to the exterior.
So we're going to have his jet lag...
Where did he go?
Oh, Enki! Enki, get on the mic. Get on the mic. Boo! There's Enkinator.
Okay,
it's not Drexel.
It's not Drexel.
Okay, it sounds like him.
Apparently the webcam is stalled because nobody saw Jack and shit in Jack Love Town.
That's a big pile of crap. I was just watching the webcam.
No, it just didn't take a picture at that time. So what we're going to redo is we're going to rebroadcast a picture.
So you're saying the cam is down.
No, the cam is up. I just looked at it.
Okay.
Okay, well, apparently...
So show the tat. And Kurt Burt will fucking do the full meaty, full edge meal deal. Turn it slightly so it catches light more.
Hold his leg up.
Bang,
his leg
there
up.
We go. Don't stop. That's good.
Is that
Kurt,
or
can
what?
You zoom in on that?
I've got digital photos of
it. We're taking digital photos.
So for those listeners out there, very shortly you're wondering, what the fuck did the chicken do? I got like a great big coffee cup sized tattoo.
Not only that, but
your tattoo will have no red eye.
That's right. There'll be no red eye on my tattoo. Because
so,
no eyes in
we it's been zoomed in on that fucking thing for like 20 seconds now, so...
You want
flex,
me to...
No, come on, flex. Oh. Don't give me the pussy flex. Give me the...
We're all talking about flexing
deal,
and shit here.
Come on.
Make me
come
hard.
On. Work for it. Work for it.
Make me hard as your best.
All right, moving right along, we have...
Stand up. Do it for me, baby. Work the camera!
The reason why we're all going off here is because, in fact, the hammer is leaving tomorrow. Yes, it's true. Infamous Hammer is in fact leaving for Shiloh, Manitoba, shortly thereafter to be departing to Croatia. That fun and happy place. Every day is precious, and don't walk on the grass because it'll fucking kill you.
And what does Hammer have to look forward to over in Croatia?
Tell him what he's also won, right?
You won 2 free tickets to Croatia. One's shitty, so's the other one.
You actually get to stay in a large metal box filled with sweaty, loud people who are drunk all the time. Not only that, they get to walk their cow and throw it 40 feet in the air and watch it spread out.
You also have
the
opportunity to be shot at.
Slivovitz. The major export is slivovitz and landmines.
Landmines brought to you by Motorola, another fine product. We bring bad things to life. Yes? Yes, it's fucking true.
And there's no civil unrest over there, no elections, no hostile hatred, and you know, a couple French peacekeepers over there didn't get shot 2 weeks ago.
So, being as all that has happened, we are going to talk about options that we have taken to make sure that our Hammerman will return to us in good, fine, functioning, nail-pulling form.
Hang on, wait a second. I don't want anything to happen to Hammer, but you did say a couple of Frenchmen got shot, right?
Woohoo!
Let's think this one through, people.
All right. They weren't killed. They were only wounded.
So, Hammer will now stand up, and the webcam will display prominently the gift from
the
well,
crew.
Actually, it's the Tweedsmere Marine Corps was the group that actually got it for him. But that's
when
totally
you care to give
subject.
The very best.
We went out, and we actually purchased brand spanky new. Never been used. Class 3 concealable armor. Yes. Yes, it's fucking true. Because, well, he actually is the only one in the group who actually stands to get shot within the next 6 months. Provided, you know, the FCC doesn't descend on us like a fat kid on a Smartie. But, which is entirely possible. So,
because
let's have a rear shot.
So entirely Smartie-like.
Spin for me.
And the FCC
spin
so
and show that mighty body armor. Yes, yes, it's fucking true. So in honor of the body armor, of course, you gotta wonder what we're gonna play next. Absolutely.
Yeah, with the mini skirt. Well, the mini skirt.
To my fellow upper and lower class, wear body armor. If I could offer you only one piece of advice for the future, body armor would be it. Benefits of body armor have been proven in scientific laboratories, and our society is going to hell in a handbasket in a rocket-assisted fashion. All my other advice pertains to trying to live some kind of a decent life. You can listen to it, or you can tell me to stuff it, but I'll dispense my advice now. Life is hard. Once you accept that fact, you will find that you're not so disappointed when you screw up. The pain you feel from screwing up in life will remove weakness from your body, but it still sucks. Don't take too many drugs that mess with your brain, or by the time you're 40, you'll act like you're 2. Have a backup. Don't put too much faith in your computer or society. You never know when either one might crash. Get a good night. Beware of anyone who leads others with any kind of religious or righteous fervor. They invariably burn books and hurt people. Don't get too high on your moral high horse. The only difference between right and wrong is the number of people who agree with you. Stash guns, money, and fake IDs, because you might need them at some point. If you don't, someone you know will. Read. Beware of cults, churches, and multinational corporations. They all want to control you and rob you of your soul. Try not to break the law. It complicates things. But if you're going to do it, think it through and do it big. Nothing's more embarrassing than doing time for some bullshit reason. Avoid violence as much as you can, but if it happens, there is no such thing as fighting dirty. Stick your thumb in his eye and use weapons when he's unarmed. You can justify it all to yourself later. Don't let yourself be limited by tradition. If we all did that, we'd still live in caves. Trust your gut more than anything or anyone else in the universe. No one else knows you as well as you. Respect old people. They are really, really strong. And realize that a measure of strength is not how hard you can hit, but how hard you can get. When in a moral, financial, or violent crisis, do whatever it takes to survive. Don't watch daytime TV. It will only make you feel stupid. stupid. Maybe your opinion's right. Maybe it's not. Maybe you're gay. Maybe you're not. Maybe you'll divorce. Maybe you'll wind up behind a 7-Eleven mumbling to yourself. But no matter what happens, you are the only person responsible for your outcome. Not your parents, not your culture, not your financial status. But don't be too hard on yourself. You had to make decisions at the time. And a bad plan today is better than the best plan tomorrow. Don't play head games. Don't put up with people who play them with you. Learn who your real friends are. Friends will help you move. Real friends will help you move a body. Know where you're going and know who's coming with you. But never get that order mixed up. Be friends with your lovers, or when you get old, the two of you will have nothing. You are in charge of your own body, but be sure about what you do with it, because you're going to have it for a very long time. Stand up for people who are smaller than you, and people who are attacked emotionally and physically. They probably need your help, but they won't ask for it. Be a good guy who does bad things from time to time. But looking in the mirror is the only way that you can judge yourself and make that call. If you don't know what to do in any situation, consider the economics. Cash is not the only thing in life, but it's really, really important. Try to stop swearing. It makes you look like an idiot. But if you can figure out how to do this, let me know. Try to patch things up with your family. If it takes, great. If not, try again in 2 years, or when you feel strong enough. In the meantime, your friends will help you get by. Don't date your exes or have a long-distance relationship. It can work, but it's more treacherous than a pissed-off mink in a rabbit hole wired on Visa at Compound. But trust me on the body armor.
What more can you say?
There it is. Wear body armor. You know
wear body armor.
You know you should. And the Hammer Man is the first man of the crew to actually have some fucking decent body armor. But if we actually go around the room, and speaking as basically he's going to a war zone, we're going to go with a fucking combat theme tonight. Yes, yes, it's true. So we're going to tell you some fight stories. Some big, meaty, motherfuck fight stories. And these are fight stories that actually the stories you're about to hear are true. The names have not been changed because we don't give a fuck.
There are no innocent.
There are none innocent. They fucked with us, all must pay. Fear attracts the fearful, the strong, the weak. Okay, starting it all off, we're going to go with Dak Dak the Lactac, the fucking maniac, Wolver Judge Desbo, as he's called by men and children alike.
Indian legend.
Once I was running through the prairies, and a great moose come say to me, "Must run, Desmond Horney." So I took it as spirit guide and ran hard and fast and free. And Nunuk, the giant bear, also run faster than me, and said, "Bud." And I said, "No, thank you. I drink coconut." Anyway, so starting right off, we're going to go with, do we have like a combat, kind of a cool combat sort of intro that we could do? We have no combat. Yes, bullshit. I will improvise on the fly right now a cool combat intro. Here it is. Satan! There it is. That's your cool combat intro.
Okay.
I did the spawn. Satan! 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 All right, good enough.
All right, great. You want to talk about my best fight story, the one where I kicked the most ass. I'm working at the hospital. Imagine that.
Oh, what a fucking surprise.
Downtown militarized zone.
Yeah.
And I get a code 66, which is whenever they have a serious problem, whenever they need physical restraint or assistance, they used to basically scream on the overhead mic, code 66. And I get my ass running down towards 1 South. This is where they call it in from. I get down there, and I see these three guys. Now, one guy has basically got this patient, little woman. He's holding her by the neck, and he's slapping her face.
Oh, I remember this.
I got another guy who's holding on to one of my nurses in a chokehold, and I got another guy who's standing there keeping some people away.
Pause. Notice at this moment that it is, in fact, Desmond's nurses. They are no longer... Desmond is extremely easily agitated and is very possessive of his pack. There is only one Dak per herd. Unpause.
Okay. So I go running down there as fast as I can, and I see the guy who isn't holding on to anyone turn around and see me. So I jump up and I just kick him. Ran full tilt, ran into him, put the boot right into his
chest. How much do you weigh, Desmond?
I weigh 260 pounds.
Excellent.
Did you do that cool Jet Li jumping 2 foot kick thing?
No, it was just 1 foot. It was
just sort of lifted the foot, didn't really stop, stepped on him as you went by. And...
No, he goes flying back and he hits the nurse's station and the glass breaks.
Freeze frame. And notice that although the Desmond seems to be a large, it is capable of great speed and high leaping. Unpause.
So, I kick the guy in the chest. He goes flying back into the nurse's station. The glass shatters. He falls down. The guy who basically was choking the nurse lets go and basically throws a punch at me.
Wait, you said the guy you leaped through the air and landed on with both feet while traveling vertically fell down.
Yes.
Imagine that. Why?
Mass momentum.
The problem with physics. Yes, bodies in motion, bodies that are stationary. Yes. Carry on. So the glass breaks.
The guy falls down. The guy who was holding on to the nurse lets go of the nurse and comes at me. Throws a punch. He clips me on the shoulder. I just punch the guy as hard as I fucking can right in the throat. He drops.
Desmond, although not easily provoked, does have real force and is quite often responsible for many deaths. Unpause.
You know, I got to say, it's really handy that you're in the hospital at the time where they have that instant tracheotomy that the guy probably needed.
At any point, did that little kind of sound come in?
Desmond Kilroy. While being cleaning up his microwave oven one day, something went horribly wrong. Dun, dun, dun.
Instantly turned green, small 3 times your side, run towards the nearest wall. Slam.
Where'd those purple jeans come from?
Oh, my God. Check out the purple jeans. Ding, 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 ding. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, so.
So I punch the guy in the throat. He drops. Now, the guy who's basically slapping the crap out of this woman, who I will tell you who the hell she was in a minute, doesn't see me. So I grab him.
Pause. At this point, it becomes readily apparent that even though in a combat situation, the Desmond can switch into a stealthy and creeping mode. Notice how the unsuspecting felon does not sense the encroaching danger of the predatory Desmond. Unpause.
In Rollmaster, that would be a +25% critical strike from behind.
How the fuck do you sneak up on someone after jump kicking one guy into a wall,
I broke glass.
Breaking a window, shattering his fucking chest, the window, and probably the wall, and the drunk guy who was sitting outside mumbling to himself fell on his face, okay, and part of the stucco comes off.
What the fuck was that?
I mean, seriously, man, you got people like fucking in Africa. Boom! You know? Obi-Wan Kenobi's all fucking. I felt a great disturbance in the force, you know? This fucking guy smack, 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 multiple echo levels. Fuck. And then you smack a guy in the fucking throat. Oh, kick your. Notice the loud crushing sound. Much like projectile vomit, well, all the guy can say. You no longer have the use of vowels. You can only speak in consonants. That's all you can say. You can't buy a vowel, fuckface. Okay? Have a day. Have two there tomorrow. There you go. Pack a lunch. Take some pills. Insert large rubber hose down your neck so you can fucking breathe. Okay? Thanks for coming out. Bye-bye. No, you sit there. Mind the wall. Okay, so...
I grabbed the last guy around the throat. And I put him into a chokehold.
This is the guy who didn't see you.
Yes.
Fucking natural selection in action. Was he using sign language or what? You're meaning me.
Girl on the left, that's awesome.
I grab the guy in a chokehold, and he starts to basically try to... First of all, he doesn't claw at my arm. He starts to go for something in his pocket.
Yeah, his cross.
A large steak, perhaps.
So I was actually worried at this point.
Quick,
so
distract him with me.
You were worried at this time. Oh, my God.
No.
There's 3 men attacking people in my hospital. They've got one of my nurses. He's going for something in his pocket. Now I'm worried, even though he's just, like, decapitated one guy. And, like, the other guy's trying to pick his own teeth out of the back of his head. You know, fuck. Yeah, I'm worried now. He's going into his pocket. He might have a lighter.
Actually, I was actually worried about a knife. So I took the...
So I ripped his whole head off.
No, I came close, though. I took the chokehold, and I turned it into a hip toss. But I didn't let go of his neck.
So I'm having a vision of a giraffe, actually. It's like, remember those toys you used to get that you could pull out really long, and then Mr. Strong Guy?
Mr. Stretch Armstrong.
Stretch Armstrong. So let me get this straight. You grab this guy, you had him in a chokehold,
And then that turned into a hip toss.
Yes.
Now, observe this. Notice how the Desmond uses constrictory tactics and large thrusting motions. Like, what, you just threw your hip into it, or
I just,
what?
I just threw my hip and then just basically rolled him over it. And he slammed.
Did you land on him?
Yes.
Ah, I see. The Desmond is adept at using great size in against his opponent.
I can vouch for that.
That's like a Static X album, you know? Like, you know, what the fuck? Yeah, you got that, and finish him, you know? And Buddy's all, the other guy's all, you know, he's speaking fucking Sanskrit. So
start to finish, the whole fight took 5 seconds. That was the most impressed I've ever been with myself.
Did you have that cool tracer thing, like when you do really fast moves in Street Fighter games, you know, you have like the image of you behind yourself?
I have no idea. All I know is I just put the guy down, and that was the end of it. I looked up. I'm looking for another opponent. There's nobody left to play.
That's pretty fucking mighty.
That's, he broke all the toys.
Well, Wilbur Judge Desbo actually has more fucking stories than you could shake a stick at. He also bit a guy's ear off once.
Got
some
stabbed, got shot.
Some fucking moron in a SkyTrain station spit on him, and Daxter laid him out with a one punch. He goes, smack, thud.
And knocks two of his teeth down.
And then
broke.
Ran away.
And then ran away because he's thinking there, oh, God, I killed him. Right? And then he comes home, and he goes, Sean, I think I may have killed someone. And I said, what happened? He tells me, this out of SkyTrain. Hey, man, you got a fucking smoke? No, sorry, I don't smoke. Fucking rent a cop. Huck Tooie. Daxter reacts poorly to this for some strange reason.
I was having a lot of fucking stress.
And here's the pitch. Oh, it's good. Oh, it's really good. He's sliding. I mean, the guy, like, gets 3 or 4 feet of air, lands on his fucking back, and does the mighty slapping, crunching sound. Sort of like a drop of steak on a piece of linoleum. That's the sound he made. He points to the sky, winds
no,
up,
I did
and
not
then,
point to the bleachers.
You know, your shoes are untied.
Like, you need to hit the bat.
Punk. Oh, you fucking spiraled down on the e-crit table, fucknuts. So what happens next is Desmond then goes, oh, God, I punched his whole fucking head off.
However,
his head's
3 feet in the air.
Oh, head came off.
However,
to with hubcaps. You don't
however
have right
I will say that is I used to think that was the best punch I had ever seen. Now, that was definitely the hardest punch I've ever thrown. However, the best punch I ever heard.
Oh, no, we'll get to that.
Okay,
we'll
that's Sean's
that
story.
That wasn't even a scene. That was an audio. That was a wave file.
All right, in any case, but so Daxter calls me up and he goes, Sean, I think I may have killed some motherfucker. Of course, you know, because naturally if anyone thinks we killed anybody, I'm the first person they call. I don't know why that is. The chicken story's next, and he did exactly the same thing. I don't know why that is. Sean will understand. Sean killed lots of people. I just killed this guy. Is that wrong? Hey, these things happen. You know. Anyway, so he calls me up. He explains the story to me because there's all kinds of fucking cameras. The SkyTrain is like an elevated train, right? There's all kinds of cameras watching this. And he goes, what the fuck? And I'm like, well, wait a minute. He's like, oh, they got me. I said, fucking Daxter, you know what happened here? Some fucking guy who's a security guard, because all the guys who run security there are ex-cops and shit.
Current.
Or what?
Or like current
or current cops or ex-military, some shit. They've all dealt with scum their whole lives. So some fucking rent-a-cop sat there, watched the night's tape, and went,
street level justice.
Hey, Greg, look, you got to see this, man. This is fucking mint.
You know, that's your clip is probably on the internet
guy,
somewhere.
He comes up to the security guy. He's looking like he's looking for a smoke, and then he spits on him, and the guard just fucking nails him. This, of course, then turns into an MPEG file coming soon to a fucking server near you.
Yeah.
Okay, is what's going to happen. So don't be surprised. If you see fucking Wilbur Judge Devil, there's the lineup, bang, with an overdub soundbite where this guy goes fucking cuckoo, cuckoo, flat. That'd be so mighty. Oh my God. So no, you're not getting charged. They're probably giggling their ass off. I probably know a few cops who take that shit home and jerk off to it. All right.
Hit the.
What happened? Oh. All right. Moving right along. We've got who's going to be next? I guess
let's go to the chicken next.
Chicken.
I'm on deck, I guess.
You're on deck.
Okay.
The chicken.
The destroyer of worlds.
Chicken,
that's right.
Destroyer of worlds. The other unsung Sith.
Best fight I ever got into, Ultimate Fighting Championship 6. No, just kidding.
Cam Shamrock. You bitch!
Yeah, this probably happened back in 92. I used to work at a paintball store, and I was coming home, and I was dressed in my Colorado Rockies baseball hat, my leather jacket, and lo and behold, because I worked at a paintball store, my Tiger Stripe Combats.
Also, they're very fucking cool.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm wandering home whistling away. I had a pretty shit day at work.
This
my boss
is important. What were you wearing on your feet?
Probably just my high-tech magnums.
Okay.
Yeah, matter of fact, yeah.
So we have a guy with a baseball jacket looking very much like a Michigan militia extra walking home from a paintball store.
Yeah,
now, understandably, the listeners must realize that the chicken, this is the story on why he is called the chicken, actually. The chicken
this is the origin of the chicken.
This is the origin of the chicken. The chicken at this time is about 5'7". He's about 5'7" and he was about 135 pounds at this stage, compared to the bulking 150 or so he is now. So he was a fledgling chicken.
Okay, the only way I would ever weigh 150 pounds is when I'm on in the show here and on camera, because the camera adds weight. My kids of the day weigh 135 pounds.
Oh, okay, so you were like, what, 120 at this time or so?
135 with kit, how about that?
Yeah, 135 right? with 10 pounds of knives. Okay, so,
yeah,
which is actually about accurate. So
I'm walking home, and I'm cutting through, conveniently enough, past this, like, the medical sort of distribution office, all this type of place, right?
This is
pretty
what we
close
call in the industry foreshadowing.
Exactly. And I'm cutting through an alley. And lo and behold, there's this guy who's about Sean K. the fucking man's height, and Sean K. is not a small guy.
Well, I'm about, at that stage, he would be about 6'2", and probably around the 220 mark.
Yeah, pretty fair. Now, this bean, well, that's not a fucking beanpole. He's got an average build, so whatever that entails.
Okay, so he's probably about 185 pounds. Then.
Yeah. So he's got, like, a good low fucking 50 pounds on me, easy. Probably closer to 60.
Not to mention 6 inches of height.
Yeah, on
which
a skateboard.
Tends to be intimidating.
Yeah. So the guy comes up and immediately starts tearing into me about the pants. Oh, yeah, you fucking cool guy, ex-army, huh? G.I. Joe with the combat pants. Oh, this is just great. Okay, this isn't like, you know, my childhood basically being relived all over again.
Yes, we all love being picked on.
That's right. So I'm like, all right, buddy, whatever. I'm just going home. So he starts skating, like, circles around me and stuff like that.
Where
like,
are you going?
I'm going home.
I'm going home.
You can't do that.
You can't do that.
I can't.
I'm going home.
So the guy gets up and starts calling me more names and stuff like that. I'm like, listen, I've had a shitty day at work. I'm just going home. And at this point, normally, like, from my background of getting picked on and beaten up at school, whenever I see somebody starting to pick on me, I usually kind of, you get intimidated. Scared's actually a very good word. Because this is what you're used to.
Fight or flight instinct begins to come into play.
Yeah. So I start shaking a little bit, getting those kind of like preemptive kind of, wow, I'm going to mix it up here, I think, right? So the guy steps off of the skateboard and pushes me.
Pause. Notice at this point the chicken would appear to be quite weak and an easy target for larger, more dominant prey. Unpause.
So now the hands are out of the pockets. And I'm like, oh God, now I got the shakes really badly. But I'm angry because I've had a shit day at work.
Pause. Also understand that the shakes is not induced by fear, as an often misconception. What this is your body, the more you shake, that is in fact your adrenal gland going absolutely shit-hawk marimba and pumping enough adrenaline into your system to kill a small horse or a very large dog.
So this is about 2 feet from like of all this medical complex at this point. So I'm like, listen, I'm going fucking home. Leave me the fuck alone. Well, the guy throws a punch at me, and I sort of like brush to the side, and he catches me in the shoulder. And just like the old Bugs Bunny cartoons, and you should see all the shit movies where people snap, lose it, see red.
And the last sound that the chicken heard was...
There was... I'm not making this up at all. There was actually the flash of red. The next thing I know, this guy is up against the wall. I've got him in a chicken wing.
A chicken wing, for those who are unskilled, is when you take your own hand, place it behind your back, then invert your wrist so that you're trying to grab your elbow with an open sort of hand fashion in a very uncomfortable manner. Only imagine that there's a person holding it. Unpause.
And I hear this crack, quite audible.
You cracked his arm?
Well, he
no,
actually
wait
brought,
for it.
Brought his hand up to his elbow is actually what he did.
Ow.
The guy drops to the ground on his knees, and now he's screaming. And I'm seeing that his wrist is actually bent flat almost against his arm.
Actually do this.
Exactly. I've seen it happen. It's cool.
And in true pop-up video fashion.
Why is everybody quitting?
People are timing out.
Pink timeouts.
Whatever. I'm going on with the story here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the guy drops to his knees and he's screaming. Now,
I wonder why.
Probably because I just broke his wrist. So not to be content with the fact that I just broke this guy's wrist, and the fact that I'm still angry.
Chicken rage!
I grab his skateboard off the ground.
This is insult to injury.
grab the truck, so basically the wheels and the axles and stuff like that, invert it, and I spike it in the back of this guy's head 3 or 4 times. I basically butt stroke this guy with his own skateboard till he fell sideways on the ground.
You don't know where I've been, and Lou. You don't know where I've been, Lou.
Oh, my.
And then I ran home, because that's when the sort of the downward rush came, and you realized you just fucked somebody up, and skaters usually hunt in packs. And then I phoned Sean Kennedy, the fucking man.
From this point, I will tell the rest of this story. I get a phone call. Ring. Oh, I wonder who that could be. Click. And there is a very anxious, obviously fucked up chicken on the other end of the phone. And I said, hello? And I hear the chicken come back to me, and he's like, holy shit, Sean, I was just in the fight. Mental image goes through my mind of the chicken all horribly fucking mangled and bleeding from the face. So I immediately say, where are you now? I'm at home. Are you okay? Yes. Are you hurt? No. Understand that his judgment is impaired because he is still in adrenal must-kill-run-escape mode. Okay, this is what his brain is going. It's speaking only in, like, nouns. So, pain-hurting thing. So he goes, and he's like, I'm like, what happened? And he goes, well, I was walking home, and this guy comes up, and he started pushing me, and I grabbed him, and I threw him in a chicken wing, and I think I broke his wrist. Why do you think that? Well, I brought his palm up past his elbow. Okay, that'd be a safe assumption. Did you bring it up through the arm or slightly off to the side? I was off to the side. Okay, then. I would say that wrist is broken. Did you hear a noise? Yeah, it echoed off the building. Okay, that would be a break. That would be a break. One of the 56 bones, perhaps all of them, are probably gone now. What did he do? He screamed and fell on his knees. I see. And what did you do? I picked up his skateboard like a rifle and butt-stroked him in the back of the head with it 5 times. What did he do then? No, nothing. He wasn't moving. He didn't move after the first one. At this point, I go into damage control mode. Did anyone see you do that? I don't think so. Did he even hit you? Well, he kind of knocked me in the shoulder. Let me get this straight. A guy walked up to you on a skateboard, said some shit, punched you in the shoulder, you threw him in a chicken wing, broke his wrist, and then butt-stroked him with his own skateboard until he went unconscious and was probably dead. Yeah. Well, right on. You kicked this guy's fucking ass.
I think the line you said, which will stick with me, is, Brian, you weren't in a fight. That was a beating.
You fucking raped some guy who fucks with you. Worry not. And Ryan's mom at the time is like, oh, Ryan, you bully. You know, what?
What?
You know, some fucking mom guy comes up to Ryan and Ryan completely thump fucks this guy like, oh, aren't you embarrassed? I'm sure he's telling a story like, yeah, there was another rival skate gang and they kicked my ass.
These 30 guys.
My mom started crying because she couldn't believe I could be so potentially violent to people.
Well, fuck around.
Little did she know.
The chicken is easily angered and not to be provoked. So, and this is why...
Is it easily angered or difficult to calm down?
The only part that scares me is the metal plumage.
Yeah, the metal plumage. Do not fuck with the foliage of the chicken. So, moving... Yeah, we'll go on to Drexel's story. Drexel, okay, anybody else got a cool fight story?
My story is really weak and lame compared to those ones.
All right, say a really weak, lame one.
No.
Make something up. Okay. Tell us when you were a nap.
Lie. You can tell that infantry one. That was a cool one.
No, that was weak and lame, too. Okay. I didn't even actually get in a fight.
All right. Minivan. Tripper?
Hammer's got to have one.
Actually, I have the hammer story. I have the origin of the hammer.
This is just as cool.
The origin of the hammer?
The origin
of
the hammer.
Ooh, cool. Story time,
Understandably, mommy. That the Siskinator, Jason Sisk, is called the hammer for a reason. This handle was not given to him arbitrarily. This was, in fact, earned. What happens way back when Sean K was the fucking man, was in the army, we were all training to go to Yugoslavia. That tour didn't happen. I didn't get to go. Bummer. I'm out 20 grand. What happens is we are stationed to different batteries. They're doing riot training. And in riot training, what they do is they have one battery who's issued to be enemy force. They show up in civilian clothes and act like drunk, unruly fuckfaces with one big guy out in front. The army, on their drill side, lines up and pretends to control them. Part of the riot controlling technique is they find the guy who's the instigator, they run over, grab the instigator, and drag him back through the army lines. So you have a line of army, they grab the instigator, drag him back through army lines. Now, the person who was playing the enemy force instigator was a fellow by the name of Warrant Barth. Warrant Barth is fucking huge. He's the kind of person who'd be named Barth. Okay? The guy's fucking immense. No shit. He was like 6'5", and... without a word of a lie, like 300 pounds. Most of it's fat, but kind of like this big, stocky, beef-bone motherfucker, okay? He's like his wrist was as thick as my lower calf. You know, he's just this huge fucking guy. One of the biggest guys around. He's not really exceptionally tough, but all he'd have to do is, like, raise his arm and drop it somewhere on your collarbone, and you'd probably fold and die.
Just due to the weight of the thing falling from space.
Now, he is in uniform because I guess he had to work. So he has his rifle, but his rifle isn't in play. He's just got a rifle on. And the rifle's slung with the strap riding over the collarbone and then down across the hip, so it goes across the center of your chest like a bandolier. So at this time, he is the administrator going, burr, 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 burr. Now, since Sisk is not really that fucking big, he's only about 5'8", 5'9", what are you, 5'10", and what do you weigh?
150.
He's 150 pounds. So he's kind of slender, okay? Good runner, fast guy, not that fucking big. Definitely not big enough to fuck with Warren Barth. So the Army, in their wonderfully twisted sense of humor, goes, okay, there's the instigator, Sisk, go get him and drag him back across the line. And a huge chuckle runs out across the line. Sisk, at this time, was a heavy gunner. So he hands off his C6, which is also, for American listeners, a mini-me, which is a 7.62 MAP 967 round a minute feed fucking disher of flesh and pain. Hands that
big
bitch
boom.
Off, drops all his ammo, and, like, without a word, darts out like lightning on between the fucking riot squad. Warren Barth is turning around, laughing at some of his friends, exposing his rifle on his back. Sisk jumps up. Actually, no, this is wrong. He runs up, grabs the rifle, and twists it. As he twists, the rifle strap tightens, the rifle strap rides up, and Warren Barth now has the rifle strap in his armpit and the other side of the rifle strap on the neck, and it's trying to force his armpit and his neck together in this really draining sort of a choking, I can't get blood to my brain kind of method, which really sucks a lot. And Sisk doesn't give a fuck, because he just takes it and twists it. Then he jumps up in the air with both feet and lands on the inside of the back of the knee of Warren Barth, which, of course, then tumbles down like a large sack of shit or other such ballast-type material. He goes, Marf. Everyone is so shocked that none of the rioters nor the fucking riot police can say a goddamn word. They're all standing there staring at this display as the Siskinator is going, and much like an ant dragging, say, a moose carcass back to his lair, okay, I'll fucking kill you, you cocksucker, come on, I'll rip your fucking head off. He gets him back through the line. He drags this 300-pound man like 15 feet, okay, while he's fucking turning three shades of bright blue, okay? The guy was a robin's egg on his face before the time he got back across the line. He releases Warren Barth. Everyone's standing there astonished, looking at this. Sisk is heavily panting, and from somewhere out in the distance, somebody goes, it's the hammer! And that is no shit where the hammer story comes from.
One riot, one hammer. No exceptions.
And since he was a heavy gunner, everybody had no fucking doubts then. It's like, hammer will fucking gun anybody. He would have just shot that fat motherfucker. He'd have put more rounds through him until he weighed about 110 pounds and then kicked his ass. It's really easy when they don't move like that. You're going to lose 100 pounds. I lost 100 pounds in 5 seconds. Ask me how. So that is the infamous hammer story. No shit. Who's left? Who's left?
Mama.
Okay, we have Drex, if he's going to bother.
You weren't paying attention.
Okay, what about you, Inky? You got a fight story? Okay, cool.
Okay, that's no good.
Okay.
All right, so I guess I'll do mine.
And so we have the last one. We have the Sean story, which actually is a story of also, I believe, me and Coma Boy.
This is a kind of a collaborative story. I'm going to have Daxter's help with this one because a certain portion of this story I don't actually remember. What happened here was we went to Enki's, had a friend, and this friend had a friend, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, there's a woman leaving this guy because he's a crack addict, okay? The guy's hooked on crack, total piece of shit, beats his wife, goes out, fucks around, brings home diseases. Phase 5, piece of shit, should be shot, okay? So we go to the house, and we're going to do the classic buddy goes to work. We move in, take everything out. We call it Delta Force moving. Anywhere, everything is ready to go 24 hours or less. We show up, pack all the shit into 3 trucks, and we drive away. That's the plan. Of course, this never fucking happens, okay?
No,
we
dickhead
show up,
comes
we're packing
home.
The trucks. We get the trucks partially packed, and Fuckface comes home. Description of Fuckface. Flash screen. Fuckface is about 6'4"-ish, blonde, and a construction worker. Now, he's not really big, but he's kind of like tall, fairly wide and toned. And kind
he
of
was
like,
in good shape.
In
he
a
was
junky sort of way. All right, well, okay, he was a big guy.
He was in good shape.
All right, now he comes home, and, of course, he's a little bit angry because there's 10, pardon me,
12 guys running around, or 16 guys, or whatever the fuck it was, running around his house packing all his shit. Now, at this time, Wolver Judge Desbo is assigned to protect the girl. You protect the girl! Right? Wolver Judge Desbo goes into knight in shining armor mode, where he's like, alrighty then. And he's standing there with this guy, fucking losing it, putting himself between him and this woman. And he's just like, very calm. No, you're not going to talk to her. And he shoves Desmond, and Desmond like just like grabs him and puts him into a wall and like leans on him. And he's like, run, you fucking dead! So he runs around, makes a whole lot of noise, fakes calling the cops. He doesn't want to call the cops because he's got his drugs and guns in the house, which we didn't know at the time.
Which, that kind of had me a little bit worried when I found out about the guns. Because
so,
I don't like taking getting a shot at. I've had it happen. It's not fun. It hurts.
So he goes and... Oh, what's this?
Keep going.
All right, okay. So what happens is the guy runs around, goes outside, and is like running around on the lawn, faking shit. At that time, Bob from Peru, who hasn't been on the show in a coon's age, comes up to me and says, hey, man, why don't we just go inside, keep packing shit so we can get the fuck out of here? Okay, Bob from Peru, ever being so bright. I then go inside with the girl, Bob from Peru, and me.
Inky was in there, too.
No, I was outside.
Were you
outside? At this point, he was outside. Now, everyone who's there is all outside packing shit into the trucks, making sure everything's fine.
I'm watching Dickhead.
He's watching Dickhead, who's running around on the lawn.
Part where Inky comes in, let him do his own voice.
Yes, yes,
okay.
Yes. Inky did have a comment in this story.
Okay. So she's in the room. Shane is in the room with her. She packs up a box, hands the box to Shane. Shane then says, okay, take this out to the car. The bedroom is at the end of a long hallway. So I'm like, okay, turn. Shock cut to Buddy outside on the lawn, running around in little circles, making himself
all
mad,
of a sudden,
motherfucker, I'm
all
so
of a sudden,
mad.
All of a sudden, he realizes all these people are back inside the house doing what he doesn't want them to do.
Well, he actually realizes most of the big guys are outside.
Yes.
So since the big guy who stopped him from smacking around his wife the first time is outside, I can slip by him and get at the woman.
So he goes tearing off, running
winds
inside.
Right the fuck up.
He
oh, yeah.
Winds himself right the fuck up.
And goes tearing off
he
inside.
He comes running into this house, and I mean he has fucking come into the house to kick ass and take fucking names. He is not even asking questions. He is just whoop-assing all over the place. He runs into the hallway. I turn. There's a box there in my hands. I see him turn the corner. He winds up and punches the thermostat off the wall for no reason whatsoever other than there's some sort of polygonal structure in front of him, and he decides to smack it. This is a sure sign of redneck crackheads.
It was a display of martial prowess.
It was a display of
he
martial...
He shattered that plastic like nobody's business.
Yeah, he definitely beat the fuck out of that thermostat. But that was all he beat the fuck out of that day. So then he descends down the hallway. Now, most of this I had to remember post... the incident
was told
about what actually happened next.
Sean, like Ryan, went into red phase.
Yes.
I've had enough of being picked on. I'm madder than hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
I think that
that happened previous, a couple of years ago. That's an interesting story, too.
With me?
Yes, with you. Because it didn't happen.
The fight that didn't happen with...
I
don't even know what the fuck he's talking about. So then what happens is he comes down the hallway. He's going... apparently, I don't really know what happened next, but everyone heard it. So we'll shock cut to outside.
Okay.
So you hear this... shock cut outside the house.
And all of a sudden, you hear the meatiest fucking... No doubt in your mind, that somebody's face just got punched. I have... Sean Kay's wife, the dark one, is outside inside a van with the two kids that basically belong to Dickhead and the woman were moving out of there. She heard the punch.
And you were on the second floor.
Yeah, I was on the second floor.
Yeah, outside, you could hear the punch. I've never heard a
punch. It was the shot heard around
the world. It was the most amazing fucking punch I have ever heard. It had texture to it. It was... You could hear where the bone compressed into bone. It was fucking amazing.
It was a mega damage punch.
It was.
Now, what happened here was he came down the hallway. I remember later that he's flailing his arms. I brush his arms aside, and somewhere from deep space, lower ankle region, I came up, follow through, and smoked this guy in the fucking face. He then stopped from a full run and fell onto his knees.
At that point...
But he grabs onto me and kind of starts falling on top of me. Now, this is happening in seconds. I rip his shirt. And the weirdest thing about this is I have so much adrenaline in my system that it feels like ripping toilet paper. It just goes, shh, and the whole thing rips.
Somebody answer that?
Oh, see who this is. You're on What the Hell?
I'm just looking for Derek.
Oh, you're looking for Derek.
Derek's not here.
Derek's not here. We have an Anki here, though. Just 1 second. He'll talk to you.
Okay. So,
then this guy drags, we go to the go-to ground mode.
Now, okay, now, I managed to get up behind this guy.
I gotta finish the ground fighting for just a second, and we'll go to that. Now, this is all in moments. The guy comes down, and because he's bigger than me and he's got inertia, I smack him. He's a little bit disoriented. He comes around. He's all doing the grabbing shit. I rip his shirt. At this point, I take, if you look at your left hand, look at your ring finger on your left hand. I then stuff that finger up his nose to my first knuckle. I then take my little finger and stick it in his eye. I then fold his face around so that my thumb goes into his other eye, and I try to gouge his eyes out at this time.
Bowling with head.
And in, make no mistake, at this phase, I want to kill this fucker. I'm like, oh good, I can blind him for life. I then stand up, and I am wearing my Garrison boots, which is big, fat, kick-ass.
Jesus, fuck off, mosh pit,
okay,
killer boots.
Now I
begin kicking him in the chest with these fucking boots on, which are leaving huge, black, monster fucking size 12 footprints on fucknut's chest, going thump, thump, saying something to the effect of, I'll fucking kill you, you cocksucker!
Yes.
Okay.
I managed to grab, came up behind, managed to get an arm around this guy's throat, and I start to basically fall back with the idea of putting this guy underneath me, once again landing on this guy from space. Now, at this stage, this is where I get confused, because you see, Coma Boy was coming up, and I managed to actually run ahead of Coma Boy, which is surprising, considering my size and mass. Now, somehow, despite this, and despite the fact that we're in a hallway, which there was not enough room for me and this guy to be in, let alone Sean kicking the crap out of this guy's chest as I'm doing this, Coma Boy managed to crawl up over top of us and get on top of this guy and begin falling down, adding his mass to the two of ours.
He gained like 1,000 pounds in 10 seconds. Notice we have some structural flaws here. Legs folding. During this process, Mike takes his arm and does Coma Boy. Takes his arm and does some sick bitch medical shit to it so that it's all twisted, rolled up in a little fucking sweat sock.
He twisted Dickhead's arm up into a back arm bar.
Yeah, it's fucking gross.
Holding it as he went over in a wrist lock, he then placed his knee onto the guy's
shoulder
and basically rode the guy down to the ground. As I'm going with him wrapped around his neck.
And at this stage, my cousin, Corey Dowie, is pulling me away going, you know, I should prevent Sean Kennedy from going to jail because he's married. And at this stage, I am still yelling the phrase which was heard around the world, relax or fucking die, which wasn't actually meant to be a threat.
No, you screamed,
I think you should become ambassador for Canada.
You screamed, you have two choices. You can fucking relax or you can fucking die.
And everybody stopped at that stage, and they thought about it for a moment. And they went, yes, that's basically true.
Now, Jant has got this guy in an arm bar. He's trying to use the... Sorry, Coma Boy has this guy in an arm bar. He's trying to use his other arm to lift him up. I'm wrapped around this guy's neck to the point that his face is turning purple. Sean is screaming at him. And then from Inky, we hear the immortal words,
dude, nobody here wants to hurt you. Maybe we should all just go outside and be calm.
Now understand, this guy's all rolled up in a big fat fucking ball with 1,000 pounds of meat on him, and an uber psycho geek, his head is on fire, and it still is, and he doesn't know why. And my head's spinning around going, your mother sucks cocks in hell. Okay, because I want to kill him.
So at this point... We managed to calm the guy down. He's like, okay.
At this stage, he decides that perhaps these people will kill me.
So he calms down. Okay, so, at this point, we begin to let him up by keeping hands on him, making sure he's not going to flip out again.
To show how hard that Coma Boy had him in an arm bar, he had a chunk of this guy's
back,
or something, a sizable hunk of meat
caught and stuck in his watch.
No lie, it was over an inch long. It was a piece of meat. He took the skin.
He tore flesh off
this guy's
with
back.
His watch from an armbar. Wow, that's what I call an authoritative armbar. So that was essentially it. After that, next thing, I remembered all that shit about the fingers and the eyes and all that afterwards. Only thing I remember from the actual incident was guy coming down the hallway, boo, 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 and then all of a sudden I'm standing outside and people are patting me on the back, man, going, it's okay, man.
It's okay.
Are you hurt? And I'm
it
like,
must
no,
be
I'm...
stated at that point that the Dark One opens up the bag and everybody starts depositing their weaponry
weapons,
into
yes,
it.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the Dark One looks like...
Back, yeah.
We're dropping knives, fucking batons, everything. Now, the beautiful part is when the cop shows up, Buddy's outside with a huge gaping fucking footprint on his chest, okay, and like a giant handprint on his face where his eyes are, okay, and the cop says, you, come with me, because I'm the first guy who walks outside. And he goes, was any punches or kicks thrown at any point? And I said, no, sir, no punches or kicks were thrown at any point. I've been trained in hostile takedowns, and this was only used by reasonable restraint. End quote. I walk away. Jans, coma boy, comes outside. He says, at any time were punches or kicks thrown? No, no punches or kicks were thrown at any time. Like, verbatim. You know, like, it was fucking programmed. We were all trained in high restraint, no, and it was all used with reasonable force. The term here is reasonable force.
At that point, the officer comes over and talks to me, and for some reason I felt this need to say, no, officer, no punches or kicks were thrown.
At any time.
I actually was trained as a security guard. Worked in a hospital for 5 years.
So, I know all about reasonable force.
And at no time was he abused in any way. Meanwhile, he's got a giant fucking handprint on his face. And 12 combat tread boots on his chest. In the morning, his bones are going to set like fucking concrete, man. Anyway, so that was the end of the story. After we eventually got her the fuck out of there, he decided it was going to be really, really cool to go talk to his kid with my wife in the van.
Oh, my God, did I think we were going to have blood.
Okay, I go and go into the blatant, in the middle of the lawn. I get in the starting race vaulting position.
No. You go up to the cop, you go, that's my wife in the van. Just thought you should know. Then you go into the vaulting race position right in front of the cop. And the cop's like...
And the cop's like, well, okay. I did. I said that to the cop. I said, that's my wife in that van. Do you understand? And he goes, yes, I understand. And I walk over and get in racing position while this guy is looking there. And I am completely tensed. I am in prime pristine, veins coming out of my body, ghost in the shell, prime attack mode. I was watching fucking atoms in the air. I was reading this guy's aura. I was tracking chakra movements on this fucker, okay? At any time, if I thought there was a change in his aura which may designate some type of hostile intensity towards my wife, I'd be up to my elbows in that guy's lungs right away. And the cop would be like, I don't know what happened. He just came alive and took him, man.
Oh, my God, he's wearing a meat vest.
I'd do that shit that Neo did in Matrix, only it wouldn't be a program. The guy would just explode into meaty chunks. It'd be like giblets. It'd be so fucking bad, the shit I would do to this guy.
Be a can of Libby's potted meat food product.
And the really bad part is, there's a cop standing 5 feet away from me, watching me do this, and all my friends are going, you know, Sean really doesn't care if this guy attacks his wife, he's going to kill him. And we're not going to try to stop Sean, because, well, Sean will turn it on us. Because we become obstacle at that point, and obstacles are made to be negotiated. So I'm not getting in the way of that missile. Fuck that. That's armed. Forget it. No way. Luckily, shit for brains, because I know the cop wouldn't have shot him. The cop would have shot me. Okay, is what would have happened there. And he better gone to the head or the heart, or he would have just pissed me off. I'm like, bang, don't do that. Smack, 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 bang, don't do that. Smack, smack, smack. You know. Okay, if you don't stop fucking shooting me after I'm done with this cocksucker, I'm going to beat you to death with this spike. So... Needless to say, the cop was standing there. I don't think the cop really fucking cared, to be honest with you. He's like, wow, I'm going to watch this guy fucking rip out this guy's lungs. This is going to be fucking cool. I'm going to make sure no one has a video camera. Where was James? Anyway, so he decided to mellow the fuck out. We got everyone out of there, and we all went to Boston Pizza and laughed about it. And I had nightmares for 3 weeks later. Like, I was looking in the mirror, and I would see myself with this shaved head wearing all these ripped clothes and this nasty person I used to be when I was in the Army going, let me in, let me in, let me in. And I'm like, no, you're from my past. You know, David Cronenberg syndrome. And he's all, no, I'm here. I'm inside of you, you know.
They say that Sean Kennedy, the fucking man, gets plastic surgery every 3 years.
So fucking bad. Wait,
you,
the gun is
have
in
you,
your
have
hand.
You heard about him? He's a great, great man.
Yeah. I hear he only sleeps 1 hour a night and talks to himself. That's great.
And this all started. This all started back in high school. This all started.
The
with
root of all problems.
Don't talk about
rule
it.
Number one, do not talk about high school.
Do not talk about high school. Now, Kurt Burt, we must understand, Kurt Burt has known Sean Kennedy the fucking man since grade school. This is like since age 8. So when I actually do wind up going postal and killing a whole lot of people, he's the guy who's going to wind up writing the book. Okay, he's
the
guy who's going to
do it right from the beginning.
Right from the talk show.
There was something wrong with Sean.
I always knew. I tried to stop him, but he said, no, I'm in league with Satan and must kill. So, go ahead.
Now the D&D.
It's all the Dungeons and Dragons. Say it after me. Dungeons and Dragons. It's blame the D&D. So, go ahead, Kurt Burt.
Okay.
I have no idea what the story is.
This all started, well, Sean's first violent action was kid constantly picking on Sean.
Okay, waving the microphone like the whole
Sorry. Okay, sorry.
Kind of like how sitting on the floor and a piece of purpose of mine.
Yes, that was Drexolus. You couldn't hear him. Anyways, back to school. Kid was picking on Sean constantly. Finally.
Define picking on. So and what we was understand
the,
what picking on is.
Okay, well,
and what
the
was
usual,
the culprit's name?
Actually, I don't recall.
David
Gilbert.
Beaker was his name. Beaker.
No, it wasn't Beaker. That wasn't. This isn't the Beaker story. This was the lame-ass kid that you got into the fight with that didn't happen. Well, anyways, I'll continue
the story.
Oh, I
think I know where this is going.
The kid was constantly picking on Sean, and he's one of the lowest of the pack of bullies. The one that's always like, I'll suck up to you by pushing on the even weaker kid.
So he's basically trying to work his way up through the bully ranks.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
He's the kick. He's the brown noser of the bully crowd. Anyways, he's constantly picking on Sean. Finally.
Jason Clay.
Yeah. Finally, Sean has had enough of this. The guy goes, I'm going to fight you. I'm going to fight you after school. I'll meet you at lunch behind the school. So, as it goes, a ring of kids around Sean and this guy. Sean is now vibrating. He's been working up to this for half the day.
I think for a little while there, actually. It was all cool.
I mean, we fed
oh,
him
Satan,
jolt.
Give me power to destroy my enemy.
I think it was
just
it
once.
Had some,
just here once. I want a fireball right now. Let me cast that spell.
It, I think part of it had to do with half the case of jolt he drank during that time period.
Stimulants are there for your advantage. You should use them. Justify it all to yourself
later. So, ring of kids around these two guys, Sean and Jay. And Jay's pushing Sean, and Sean's like, I'm about to snap. I'm either going to get the crap beaten out of me or I'm going to go to jail.
At a young age, I was concerned about jail.
And Jay goes like, I'm going to fight you, man. Pushes Sean, and that's when Sean snaps. Sean punches him. The kid goes, I don't want to fight anymore. Sean punches him again. The kid goes, no, this is over, man. Backs up. Sean punches him again and goes, keep... Hit me. Come on, hit me. Smack. Come on, hit me. Smack. This is a fight, motherfucker. Smack. I think it landed about 4 shots into the kid's head before the rest of us intervened and pulled Sean off of him.
Yeah.
Because obviously this was going to be a meat fest.
Why'd you stop it?
Well, because,
Sean wouldn't be sitting here right now.
I was thumping this guy in the fucking head really, really, really hard. There was a similar scrap that happened where Danny Sandy, who's a little guy, was getting fucking slapped around. Now, understand, I used to get slapped around fucking hard. Like, this kid used to sit on a bus and smack the shit out of me for half an hour every fucking day. David Beaker was his name. No word of a lie. This guy used to sit, get on the bus. He was like 2 years older, way stronger, way bigger. No way you could fight back. So you're doing that whole... Oh, fuck, time for another beating. And you have this pride inside of you where you're not going to cry out for help because you have some vestige of manhood inside of you where you're feeling bad enough that you get fuck kicked anyway. So for about 6 months there, he would get on the bus, no shit, every day, like clockwork, set your fucking watch to it. And that would be the worst part, is waiting for the bus. And I get on the bus, and I go to the back, and I try to sit down and look small. And he would come to the back of the bus, sit down beside me, and commence beating me. And he would be like, you know, doing that cool belittling, I'm going to smack you and punch you shit. So you kind of funnel that out, and you get small, and you don't hear it anymore, and you just kind of feel, you know, your body move and jerk, and the bruising kind of stops. And this happens for, like, months and months and months and months. And this is how I learned how to take a hit. So there's a benefit to this. I learned really, really hard how to take a hit. And other than that, there was no real sizable fucking differences in my personality, which seems to come out now when I see people who are bigger picking on little people because it makes me fucking insane. Because I can breathe fire then, and it's a righteous beating, because God wouldn't let me say this if he didn't want me to fucking skin this asshole on the spot and eat him. So that's how I feel.
And I've got a good bus driver which sums that up.
Yeah, so what happens is I get a little bit bigger because my body goes, you know, you're getting slapped around. Why don't we say, put some growth hormone into this fucker and see what we can do. So I get a little bit bigger, and then, of course, there's another small kid named Danny Sandy. Now, Danny Sandy was a little guy. I mean, he was a small guy, didn't have the little man syndrome yet, was still trying to, just fucking, he's doing his thing, whatever. And there was a big kid smacking around. This is smacking around in the clear. He's, shoving fucking geek. Being as I'm an authority in being brutalized, I recognized it immediately. And went up and wanted to confirm with Danny. I go, hey, man, what the fuck's the score here? Is this guy, like, picking on you or what? And Danny doesn't say anything. He just kind of looks away like, you know, well, yeah, but I'm not going to say anything because that's shaming and you have that pride thing happening, right? So you can pick it up. And I'm like, ah. So I walk over to the guy, grab him, throw him up against the wall, and, you know, basically let him know that I disapprove of his actions and he should not do this again or I will remove his liver. So he then goes, and runs away. That's it for him. I said, don't ever...
So, there is nobody left.
That's okay. They're all drunk. So
they can still hear us? Okay.
Oh, yeah. So they go, and I, like, go back and I talk to Danny. And Danny isn't going to say thanks because he feels like he's the one who should be pushing the guys back, not me. So I go back and I say, what a fucking asshole. And I get him back up so he's okay. And all of a sudden, I turn around, there's a guy there. Now, this was not the guy I fucking told to fuck off. Some guy there. And he goes, hey, motherfucker. And I'm like, hey, what? And he goes, what the fuck is your problem? And I'm like, well, actually, I have a guy in my face right now who's yelling at me, and I have no idea why. That's my problem. What's yours? And he goes, oh, fucking kick your ass. And I said, why? He said, you're fucking with my friends. Fucking with my friends? I got a buddy here who's getting the shit slapped out of him because he's tiny, and you're saying I'm fucking with your friends? No. It doesn't work like that. Let's fucking go. I don't even know you. Let's fucking go. I don't know you. I have no reason to fight you. Let's fucking go. Fine. Fair ball. Danny, hold my glasses. We walk around the side of the building. Now, I'm a little freaked out at this stage. This is when Sean doesn't fight. Understand, I'm like 13, 14 years old here. Okay, I'm totally freaking out. I've got that big shake thing happening, and I know I can feel it coming. I'm going to start to cry because I can feel that shit, that going to cry eye thing happening. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, God damn it. No, I don't want to cry because there's a big crowd of kids, and they're all going to see me fucking cry. That sucks ass. Fuck. And the guy's, I'm saying, I got my hands up, and he goes, bang, and he nails me in the face really hard. Well, not really that hard because I get fuck kicked every 6 months, right? So it was a pretty good punch, but, you know, I rolled it, maybe gave it a 4. And he goes, smack! And I'm like, I'm sort of sitting there trying to go, and he goes, smack! And I can feel the tears coming now. You know, I don't feel his punches, but I feel the tears coming because, you know, I've been fuck kicked for 6 months. And he goes, winds up in third shot, smack! Right in the fucking face. Now, on that third punch, a funny thing happened. A funny, funny thing happened. There's this ding. You know that ding on the Robotech cartoons where the ding comes down along the neck and goes, ding? That ding happened. And I was so clear. It was like,
reset.
I can see everything around me.
I've been in, when I'm in fights, that's exactly what happens. Everything becomes so clear.
And I wasn't going to cry anymore. I was just, my eyes opened really, really wide. And I looked at him, dead in the eyes. And I looked at him and I said, and now I'm going to kill you. Not in a threat, as a courtesy, really.
You let them know.
Because I'm going to let you know to talk to your gods and let them know that you're coming home now. He then looks at me after giving me 3 of his hardest punches in the face, and now I've said, and now I will kill you. And he feels, for the first time, fear. And he's like, I don't want to fight anymore. Ah, I've heard this song before.
Too late. 5 minutes.
Wait, you're 3 punches in. A little late now. In for penny, in for pound, fucker.
And it's all
so
your
I thumped
weight.
Him in the face a bunch of times. Whack, 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 whack. He's like, I really don't want to fight anymore. And he's putting his hands up, which I'm using to gauge the range between his hands and into his face. And I'm like, you know, full on, you know, sidestep, no quarter
stepping into him.
Yeah, totally. Like, smack! And this guy's head's reeling back. And I'm like, oh, you can't take a punch. You should try talking to David. He'll beat the fuck out of you for 6 months. And you can come back and talk to me. at this stage, he's like, I don't want to fight anymore. And then, of course, I come down out of that zone, which is really shitty because I'd like to stay there. But I come down out of the zone, and then
it's
the tears
cool
hit. I'm like, you fucker. I'm like, got tears running down my face. And everyone's wondering why the fuck I got tears running down my face, because I'm like, you asshole. And I'm kicking the shit out of this guy. And they're like, why is Sean crying? He's beating the fuck out of this guy. I don't know why he's crying. It's okay. We'll just chalk it up to insanity. He plays a lot of D&D. Yeah. I don't know.
It's something like that, yeah.
He listens to Ozzy Osbourne. I have no idea what's exactly going on here. So that was, understandably, though, do not even remotely think that I am a badass, because I have lost more fights than I have won by far. Okay? There's absolutely no limit to the fights I have lost, because I have had the living fuck beat out of me a whole lot, which has its merits. There are merits to having the living fuck kicked out of you.
There is confidence.
There is confidence in that. Speaking of having the living fuck kicked out of you, we should move on to the next segment of the evening about someone who kicks the living fuck out of us every single day. Yes, every day, the BC provincial government kicks the living fuck out of us. And so, Kurt Bird has an interesting article, which he's going to read, about this fucking thing.
Actually, it's... it's just a statement on our government in BC. It goes like this. I got it over the email, so it's one of those things to get passed around to absolutely everybody. And there's a page and a half of crap at the top of it. But anyways, here it goes. The ant and the grasshopper. The classical version. The ant works hard in the withering heat all summer long, building his house and laying in supplies for the winter. The grasshopper thinks he's a fool and laughs and dances and plays the summer away. Come winter, the ant is warm and well-fed. The grasshopper has no food or shelter, so he dies. The British Columbia version. The ant works hard in the withering heat all summer long, building his house and laying up supplies for the winter. The grasshopper thinks he's a fool and laughs and dances and plays the summer away. Come winter, the shivering grasshopper calls a press conference and demands to know why. Next page. The ant should be allowed to be warm and well-fed while others are so cold and starving. BCTV, CBC, The Sun, and The Province all show up to provide pictures of the starving grasshopper next to the video of the ant in his comfortable home with a table filled with food. The lower mainland is stunned by the sharp contrast. How can it be that in a province of such wealth, this poor grasshopper is allowed to suffer so? Then a representative of PAGB, Provincial Association for the Advancement of Green Bugs, shows up on a Bill Good and charges the ant with green bias, and makes the case that the grasshopper is the victim of 30 million years of greenism. Kermit the Frog appears on Oprah with the grasshopper, and everybody cries when he sings, "It's Not Easy Being Green." David Suzuki and Adrian Clarkson make a special guest appearance on the evening news to say that they will do everything they can for the grasshopper, who has been denied the prosperity he deserves by those who benefit unfairly during the social credit summers, or as David calls it, the temperature of the 80s. Mo Sahota exclaims in an interview that the ant has gotten rich on the back of the grasshopper and calls for an immediate tax hike on the ant to make him pay for his fair share. Finally, the legislature, led by none other than Airdra Walsh, drafts the Economic Equity and Anti-Greenism Act, retroactive to the beginning of the summer. The ant is fined for failing to hire a proportionate number of green bugs, and having nothing left to pay his retroactive taxes, his home is confiscated by the government. Mo gets his old law firm to represent the grasshopper in a defamation of suit against the ant. The case is tried before a panel of provincial judges that Glenn Clark appointed from a list of single-parent welfare moms who can only hear cases on Thursday between 1:30 and 3 p.m. when there are no talk shows scheduled. The ant loses the case. The story ends as we see the grasshopper finishing up the last bits of the ant's food, waiting for the government to send him more food, while the government house he is in, which just happens to be the ant's old house, crumbles around him since he doesn't know how to maintain it. The ant has disappeared in the snow. And on TV, which the grasshopper bought by selling most of the ant's food, they are showing Dan Miller standing in Victoria before a wildly applauding group of grasshoppers, announcing that a new era of fairness has dawned upon British Columbia. A very apt statement of our government.
So what does this all mean?
Don't move to BC or kill politicians.
Or grasshoppers.
Yeah, a little bit of both makes everybody happy.
Yeah, that's pretty much the truth of the matter. So, moving right along, that was our political statement. What do you guys think of what the fuck? How's it going? Actually, well, no one's in the IRC, so hopefully, just shout it out. We'll hear it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so
I think I heard a yawp in there somewhere.
We're gonna move right along, and we're gonna go into, in fact, gross hospital stories. Yes, it's time for Uncle Dak to fucking start it up.
Now, once again, it's time.
Gross hospital stories.
Hello, boys and girls. It's your old Uncle Dak once again giving you another disgusting, gross hospital story. I'm going to go back into one of the old files, and I'm going to give you one of the ones I told you a long time ago, because I'll be honest, I didn't expect this show to last this fucking long, and I only have so many things that I found gross. I mean, there's shit that basically I could tell you that's not gross, but it's not that good a story. So I'm going to go back to one of the old ones. This one actually didn't really happen to me. This happened to a friend of mine. He basically delivers garbage. He takes out garbage for a living. And he used to bring his dog along with him. Now, his dog would basically go everywhere with him. And whenever he would stop off at the dump, he would basically let the dog out, and the dog would run around. Now, he used to drop off hospital waste to pick up the large dumpsters full of, the big Smithwrights full of hospital biological waste. That this stuff, some of this stuff is supposed to be actually dealt with in a different way, so I have no idea how the hell it was taken to our local dump, but that just shows you, once again, what wonderful practices we have here in B.C. So,
pour it down the drain.
Yep. So he goes there, lets the dog out. The dog comes back, and the dog has got this white shit all over his muzzle. And he's like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck have you been into? But so anyway, basically takes the dog home, cleans him off. Dog is basically like, just licking his face like normal. Doesn't think anything of it. So he goes to the dump again, and the dog comes back with the same kind of white shit on his face. And he's wondering, what the fuck is the dog getting into? I mean, the first time he thought it was like mayonnaise or something like that. So cleans the dog off and basically sends the, the next time he figures when he goes there, he's going to get out. He's going to follow the dog. He wants to find out, what the fuck is the dog getting into? So he basically gets down there. The dog gets out of the car like a fucking beeline. The dog is basically going someplace. The dog is like wagging his tail the minute they pull up into the dump because he knows he's going to get into something good.
The dog's hooked on crack. He's got the monkey on his back. He's found the shit. He's mainlining.
So the dog goes tearing off, and he basically follows the dog. He's like wondering, where the fuck? And he comes around the corner, and he finds it's one of the dumps for basically the hospital waste. And the dog is getting into the bags of liposuction material.
Okay, that is Fight Club bad.
That was, it's human fat that they have sucked. They have sucked out of some fat ass, and I mean literally sucked out of some fat ass. And his dog is basically lapping this shit up like it's fucking just, it's gummy bears. He loves this shit.
The dog has now had a taste of human flesh and biomatter. It can never go back to being the same. Shoot the dog. And this is coming from the chicken, the resident ALF member, that extremist. Shoot the fucking dog. Cerebus, it's evil. Make it go away.
Now, the worst part is, like, after he cleans the dog off, and he doesn't clean the dog off by hand this time, he takes his hose to clean the dog off.
He had to drink from the fire hose.
and the thing is,
gets exposed to the pressure washer.
He's sitting there, and the dog, his wife comes home, and the dog starts licking his wife's face. And he decides, I don't think I'm going to tell her.
At that point, she's had a taste of human biomatter and flesh. She'll never go back to being the same. Kill her.
We must destroy her. We must destroy the garbage truck, because that garbage truck has had a taste of
human
flesh and biomatter and will never be the same. We must shoot the fucking garbage truck.
But that's my gross hospital story for the week. Yes, I've told that one before. However, I am really, really happy. I told that one the first time almost a year ago. I had gone camping with a couple of friends. You all know Andrew. Big Andrew.
Five head. Andrew is forehead.
A big forehead.
Five
Andrew.
Head. Five head. Forehead's not big enough.
It's
a forehead.
It's a five head. I had Andrew gagging, rushing away from the campfire when I told that story, running into the bush so he could upchuck his Smokies.
Being as we have Movie Man in the house tonight, we actually get a live and
in-depth
version of Movie Man. However, before we hand it over to Movie Man, I'm going to do my own quick movie review of a film I just saw the other night, which I must say, I have a favorite martial arts actor at this time. Is that what you're going to review? Have you? Okay, well, I'll let Movie Man do it, and then I'll add on to it.
And I can give an ad-lib movie review, too.
Oh, can you?
Yes.
Actually, we'll let Ryan do his first, because I got to find his intro. So,
okay.
Chicken, take over.
Friday night, after much running around the greater Vancouver-Richmond area, we decided to hook up with a buddy of ours down at Imperial Hobbies. This is me and, like, I don't know what we can call him, White Knight, the Paladin, Great Northern Boy. No, that's mean. Anyways, my buddy Angus. Anyways, we hook up with this buddy of ours, and we sort of decide that we're going to go out and see a movie. And the guy's like, hey, I know what's playing. What, guys? Pitch Black. Pitch Black? Dot, dot, dot.
I almost went to see this myself.
Oh, yeah, wait a minute. It's that movie where everybody crashes on planet, things get really shitty, and they get eaten by aliens. Yeah, that's the one. Want to go see it? Really, but okay, because you're paying, because I'm a broke bitch, because I spent $250 on a tattoo. Yeah. So anyways, here we are, sitting in the theater. I'm drinking my fucking mocha smoothie that I paid like $10 for at, like, you know, the little smoothie place that sells, like, Star Trek or Starbucks coffee. Star Trek, Starbucks, it's all fucking evil anyways. So anyways, yeah, the movie starts, and oh my god, I didn't pay for the movie. I wanted our money back. I wanted the time back from my life. It sucked ass. Characters sucked ass. Settings sucked ass. Story could have done something with it. Effects sucked ass. Aliens sucked ass. You see the point. The one character you can sort of maybe even connect with was the bad guy who spoke in this monosyllabic, like, yeah, I'm a really cool guy, hard ass, killed everyone from the Barrios kind of look. Sucked ass. Like, the one-liners and everything. Moral of the story is, the movie sucked ass, don't see Pitch Black, save your money, go see something else cooler. Or, go and rent. Da-da-da.
Da-da-da. Moving right along, we're going to go to live. On location, we have...
Martial arts fans out there.
That's us!
Jet Li has a new movie. Actually, Jet Li is doing pretty much the same thing that Jackie Chan did a little while ago, where...
Only better and faster.
He hasn't actually made an original movie in quite a while. All of the movies that are coming out with Jet Li right now are re-releases of movies that he made years ago in... Exactly.
Yeah, but who gives a fuck? I mean, really, we just want to see a fight. Fuck plot, enter scrap, and roll credits, you know, fight, and movie. There you go.
The movie is Fist of Legend. Almost forgot the name of the movie. The movie's called Fist of Legend. It's very, very reminiscent of an old Bruce Lee movie. Actually, we were thinking that it was originally a remake of The Chinese Connection. Jet Li is got to be one of the fastest guys I've ever seen.
The guy is fucking sick.
Amazing. He's got the six-finger push-ups down. He's got the one-arm chin-ups. He is... amazingly quick.
He is airborne. There are people who can jump up into the air and do 50 million things before they land on the ground. He is one of these people. He is so fucking fly. Like, you'll watch a Bruce Lee film, and you'll see that Bruce Lee threw a kick, and you can tell that he threw a kick, and that's how he threw the kick. But like Jet Li will do shit, and you're like, wow, he kicked that guy somehow, and I don't know if you can twist. How did he twist his body like that? That's really fucking amazing. Have you seen this thing, Drax? Oh my god, I have it in my house right now. You should really watch it. It's Movie Man's copy, but it's like fucking unreal. And I'm like, it was so brutal by the end of it. I won't give away anything, but by the end of it, I was like, if this guy was on my team, I'd wait till the fight was over and I'd shoot him because he's a scary motherfucker. Like, he's just obscene.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably give this at least an 8, just for the action sequences alone. The story, well, it's any typical Golden Harvest film.
Woohoo! Golden Harvest!
Golden Harvest!
Okay, that's
no,
just
you
wrong.
Went to the Golden Arches.
And that's pretty much it for my video review. Fist of Legend, Jet Li, check it out.
Another really awesome movie if you guys haven't seen it. I imagine probably everybody in the fucking world has seen this, but holy shit, does Iron Giant ever kick ass.
Yes.
That
was a great fucking film.
Ass. It's the first animated film I've seen in a long time that was original, it was creative, it was...
Not musical.
It was not musical, fuck yeah!
Actually, I just...
Sucks ass.
I just forced a friend of mine to basically watch Tarzan, which was the last Disney one that they did. And what they did in that film was they didn't have them singing a bunch of fucking songs. There were like two minor numbers that you can almost call musical. One of them was the mother singing a lullaby to the kid. The other one was kind of a musical number for the kids. I got to throw something in. All the rest of it, it was just Phil Collins doing background songs. I so fucking preferred that to, like, the last...
The breaking into song.
Yeah, song from...
Where that comes from, you got to understand that Disney actually did all this shit back when musicals
were big. They were the thing.
You know, musicals was... Yeah,
the 30s is when they started. And
I mean, Fred Astaire was cool. Ginger Rogers kicks Fred Astaire's ass. But, I mean, you know, Fred Astaire was cool. And so Singing in the Rain, you know, all this kind of shit was all the rage, and people had a boner for it. That is the standard that was set. That was the precedent that was set. So now they try to carry it on.
I was talking with Projectile Vomit Man. We were talking about this, and one of the things we were saying about some of the original Disney films, especially things like Bambi, where they had, like, a real fucking story, and they dealt with shit that was... Do you think these fucking lame asses at Disney would have the balls today to make a movie where Bambi's mother gets shot? Do you honestly think they would do it? I don't.
No.
I think they're such cowardly little fucking politically PC correct dickheads that they would not have the fucking balls to basically shoot Bambi's mother if they put it out anymore.
You don't got the balls to shoot Bambi's mother, son.
That's because Michael Eisner's a fuck nut.
Yes. Yeah, Michael Eisner. If once again, I'd like to offer a bounty of $50 million
rant
radio
dollars
for the
head
of Michael Eisner.
Yes, it's true. Who's Michael Eisner and why do we hate him?
He's the guy that started the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. He's the guy that bought the rights from our Canadian government for the RCMP.
Yes, the Mounties belonged to Disney for 3 fucking years, if you can believe this.
What?
Yes, all the images, any image of a Mountie.
That's because as Canadians, we don't protect the copyrights to our own national imagery.
They use
that's how copyright conscious Canadians are.
Yeah, they basically the fucking Disney Corp bought the rights to. Yeah, but basically they challenged them, and I know they do belong back to the Mounties now. The Mounties now actually own their own image.
Good.
Well, actually, interesting story. The Mounties, a lot of people might wonder where the Mounties actually come from. The Mounties uniform is not a police uniform. It's actually an artillery uniform.
Yep, it's a military uniform.
Well, it's an artillery uniform specifically, yep. Because back in the day, what happened was the Mounties, there was no law here, and so the artillery was one of the first people to be stationed here, because, well, at that time, you know, cannons kicked fucking ass, so you needed artillerymen. So they needed people to appoint for law, so they dress up in their DEUs, which is a dress entertainment uniform, or DEU? Dress environment uniform, anyway, whatever the fuck it is. So
damn entertaining uniform.
And they have scarlet tops, and that's why on the old RCMP
they have a box uniform, a box hat, don't they?
No, they have bomblets on their collars.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
They have artillery bomblets on their collar dogs,
and that's because it is, in fact, and that's why they all have lanyards on them, too, is because they're artillery. They are an artillery-based unit. That is
back
where
when they were called the Northwest Mounted Police.
That's
before,
right.
Before they became the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
And at that time, they were fucking psychos. I mean, understand, at that time, you know, Canada was this big, wild, untamed psycho pit that, well, most Americans think it is now anyway. And it's...
And hell, to this day, there's still... organization.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you go see the cop school in Regina, it's not run like a cop school. It's, well, they shut it down, but it's run like a fucking boot camp. Like, you get there, they shit on you, they beat you up, they do all sorts of crazy shit. And that's why the RCMP, if you are a Mountie, and you can basically pick your force anywhere in the world after that, because you're one of the best trained cops in the world.
Yep. Technically, they're listed as special police. It wasn't until 20, I think it was 20-odd years ago, that Canada finally had its own secret, the equivalent of our own Secret Service, which would be CSIS, Canadian
Intelligence Service.
Yeah.
Canadian Special Intelligence Service. What do we know about the Canadian Special
Security
Intelligence
Service? Intelligence.
Security Intelligence Service? Security. Thank
you,
Projectile Vomit Man.
It's
the Canadian version of the FBI.
Of the SIS in Britain, which is just CSIS without a C.
They're phenomenal at forensics.
Are they?
We're like leading edge in the world. That's why a bunch of CSIS and actually RCMP guys are over places in like Bosnia and Rwanda and Kosovo.
Looking
and
into war
Mexico
crimes.
Where those basically narco guerrillas killed like hundreds of people because they're putting together all these basically human genocide and war crimes cases based off of Canadian expertise.
They recruit the members. You don't go talk to them. They come talk to you.
Yeah.
It also should be mentioned, however, CSIS back in the early 80s, the way that we discovered that this group had been put together, it was discovered that CSIS was actually bugging the homes of various Canadians.
Big fucking job. What, the government spying on
you? I know, but you don't understand. In Canada, when this first came out, this was more than a little bit of a surprise, because, hell, we didn't even know we had the technology to do this.
Yeah, that's pretty much true. But
Canada, you fucking Canadians.
In Canada, it's not as much of a problem as it is in some other countries, because technically we don't actually have rights up here.
Yes, that is true. The Charter of Rights is just that. It is a charter. It is not a bill. It is not a law. It is an agreement.
No,
I understand this.
It is a law. It is
in our Constitution.
It's all there, notwithstanding the government's ability to sidestep it whenever they fuck they feel.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
It's never enforced.
Yeah, no,
but it is there.
It is there, but no, there's a thing, there's an addendum that was added to it called the notwithstanding clause that means that any time the Canadian government so feels, all of the bills, all of the rights that are basically listed under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms in Canada can be amended and suspended from basically for an individual.
The Drexel
it's a neat way of retroactively justifying things like during the FLQ crisis back in the early 70s, sending the troops into Quebec and basically locking down the province like a police state.
It turned into martial law in the province of Quebec. For anyone who doesn't remember, the FLQ... was a terrorist organization that basically was dedicated towards fighting for the independence of Quebec back in, what was it, 69, I think is when they 70s. I know it was the 70s, but wasn't it 69 they first showed up on the scene?
Whatever. Not important. Yeah. They fought and they got their asses squashed.
Actually, not really. They didn't catch most of the people that dropped the bombs. Most of them got away and were never found.
Oh, well.
Most of them... got away, in quotation marks, and were never found.
Yeah, like, I'm really sure. Well,
you know, except for the ones that surfaced again in Quebec politics and, you know, now hold positions of power.
Yes, it is actually, there is a couple of members that are in the Bloc Québécois, which are actually ex-members of the FLQ, a terrorist organization. Only in Canada, you say.
Blame Canada!
Blame Canada!
With their beady little eyes and their floppy little heads.
Shit happens that easily is like, you know, Ireland maybe.
Yeah, I've got a problem there because I'm a Canadian of Irish descent. So
I am. All I have to say is Britain. Boom. That's my whole comment on that whole problem.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Hey, you're
Yeah, your ancestors suck.
And why do we put up with you? Why are you the most abused person in the group? Think it through, Kurt.
You've got.
That's true. There is Eastman, yes,
why
but that's just because he smells
so
bad.
We understand. Tell everyone who, in fact, Eastman is.
Sporgoth.
Sluggy.
He has been on the show once.
Oh, was he?
Yes, he was the one that we all called the Plague Bringer. He wiped out 2/3 of the group with an illness.
Did how many thousands of dollars damage in calculated damage and lost wages?
In lost wages, no shit. We worked this out. This guy did over $10,000 worth of damages to basically...
Coma Boy would be certified as an ambulance
driver if it was not...
It was not Forrest Florgoth, the plague bringer. Seriously.
He was
one exam short of having his full certification.
So he was home. He was home
he
here.
He passed out from the fucking flu, from catching it from fucking.
In the middle of the exam, they had to take him to fucking hospital.
Holy shit!
This fucking flu killed every person who caught it. I'm exaggerating with that part, but I'm serious. Everybody who caught it was so sick that you couldn't fucking get out of bed.
I escaped it.
Ryan was the only person that was coming in and out of my home on a regular basis who did not get deathly fucking ill.
Praise garlic.
Garlic is holy. Holy shit. So that sucks pretty hard ass right across the board.
Actually, I think it was more than that, because how much did King lose for not being able to trade for that week?
Well, that's perspective.
Yeah, but who cares?
Yeah, that's true. It's King.
Yeah.
Remember, for any of our listeners, if you ever get into any type of legal problems, the first words out of your mouth should be, "I want my lawyer." The second word should be, "I'll tell
King
is
the
ringleader."
That's right. So we're going to move into some tunes now. I don't know. We're probably going to do...
We're going to do a rant? We're not going to do any rants. We've got no rants cut down for
I have no rants prepared. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Fucking suck. Actually... I'll rant a little bit. I'll do a live rant so that somebody can understand. I'll explain why no rants are done. Because one, my fucking buddy, Sumerian, is off in the Bahamas, which should be back sometime tonight. But what happened here is that I am now currently, I got thrown in a position where I'm a sysadmin. And I got dropped into a computer network, this is for all the tech heads out there, a computer network that used to be a Novell network, and it suddenly got converted into a Microsoft network. But when Sumerian last... installed, he didn't wipe an F-disk all the hard drive, so there's Novell residual left over on the fucking computers. And when I try to install new hardware or new fucking LAN cards, it's asking me for Novell driver disks and all sorts of groovy shit, which means that I basically have to almost rebuild the entire fucking system from scratch from a total reinstall.
And this is easy, right?
Not exactly, no, because they're all older computers, which don't accept drivers, and things start to go fucky, and the plant, the place that is running this, is right next door to a concrete testing plant, and the concrete testing plant has power fucking surges, and none of their shit's on surge suppressors, or actually, the computers are, but the hub isn't. So the hub got a major power surge, fucked up a bunch of network cards, and I'm the guy who gets dropped, never having seen a network before, into this meat grinder, okay?
Welcome to technical hell.
It was fucking bad. Now, the place is owned by Italian fucking construction contractors. Okay, so, I mean, this is two steps up from Trailer Park Man. And I'm like, oh my fucking God. So, I'm in there working like a crazy motherfucker between a fax machine, a laser copier, and a speakerphone that's set to dial. So, every 10 minutes I hear, and blaring at the top of, you know, the massive, like, 11 on the volume scale. And I have to sit there and do this. This is absolutely fucking gross. And I'm doing this for 3 days.
You make work or you sleep with the fishes.
Yeah, and this is basically the way this is going to go. Now, no fucking stress here, because I'm still trying to prove myself in my new fucking job. Because if this thing doesn't work, I'm up the fucking shit creek without a paddle. No fucking stress. Okay? So this is why I have no fucking rants done. Is because, well, I'm an undereducated person who doesn't want to be working three jobs so I can support my fucking wife, and it sucks ass. I mean, really, nobody, like, if you're going to own computers, for God's sake, you're standing on the mic cord, if you're going to own computers, like, fucking learn about them. It's not hard. Just have one guy, you know, be receptive and not always try to pass the buck off. I mean, why are people so intensely fucking serious on going, what are we talking about? Don't worry about it. We're broadcasting. Relax. Like, why are people so fucking intensely set on just not learning new things? Like, the whole FUD thing. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. I don't know why this is. They just expect fucking consultants to walk in there, magically wave their hands, and make it happen. They think it's like a fucking car. Well, it was working yesterday. Well, it's not fucking working now. Why not? I don't know. I've been here 5 fucking minutes. Why don't you tell me why it's not working? I mean, these people are thicker than whale shit in the wintertime, man. These guys are fucking brutal. And there's nothing that can be done for them. They're the weakest, most assholes in the world. But you have
it's
to be
a
nice.
It's a common attitude. Any technology people, average people, don't understand is pure fucking magic.
No,
it's
absolutely.
Easier. Besides.
And I think Drexel is leaving.
All
right.
Later,
Drex. Drexel. Take care, buddy.
Send me those pics.
So.
Is anyone actually still out there? Because I've seen no fucking movement.
Oh,
they
can hear us, but. There's a. Oh, Kimberly's listening. Okay, right on. Hello, bitch.
We.
No, she likes being called bitch. It's okay. I can say, hello, Kimberly, you fucking bitch. Kimberly, you're a bitch. Kimberly, bitch, 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 bitch. It's okay, because one, Drexel's gone. And two, that's, yeah, she likes it. She likes being called a bitch.
Just say comment about the network stuff. Have you ever listened to somebody selling a network?
Oh, I'm at, oh, they're magical. Salesmen don't give a fuck. It's just like, oh, yeah, we can do that. We can do everything. You don't need gateways. No.
You won't need any employees after this.
You won't need to. You won't have to fucking run new cord. No, we'll run it through the fucking air. You just think happy thoughts and your fucking email will work. SMTP, you
lick
fuck.
Your shoes three times.
Seriously. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's no place like email. There's no place like email.
Yeah. Hey, acronym boy, why don't you start learning about the fuck you're selling? You know, they have these guys who sit there and try to fucking go and sell the ship, and they don't understand a fucking thing, and it just makes me crazy. Like, I really want to smack the shit out of these people. But you can't. You can't, because you have to service them.
What was it that Gentle G said a few weeks ago? I believe he put it best when he said, no.
That's right.
Just no.
But you can't do that, because you lose them as your client.
But you're taking them for a lot of money.
This is true. This is true. We bill out at $55 an hour for some guy who's never actually had any formal experience or training.
Yes. Isn't this a beautiful country?
Circle.
But... Yeah, a guy, but actually that's fair, because the general going rate is $90 to $120 an hour for an open consultant. So they're getting a fucking bargain. They're getting their fucking money's worth is what they're getting. Half the price, half the qualifications. It's a Mexican fucking doctor scenario.
You
can pay $150 and have university graduates, or you can pay $55 and have Sean.
I ordered away my diploma, so.
Appendix out. Stop fucking crying. The infection will go down.
Everybody.
He's Dr. Nick.
It's so brutal. Like, I try to fake it. I really do. I try to fake it like I know. Like,
hey,
I,
they're all back.
I'm trying so fucking hard to, like, make it seem like I know what the fuck I'm talking about. But I really don't. It's not that I'm stupid. Like, I've learned about DNS servers. I learned about DNS servers in half an hour. Okay, I went from, I don't understand what DNS is, to, oh my god, this is how DNS works, this is how they're fucking laid out, the whole nine yards. I learned this in like half an hour. I don't have time to fucking learn. It's just like, here, shovel this into your head. I know Kung Fu. It's like, holy cow! And you have to deal with this shit, you have to accept it, you have to fucking know this, and you have to run it out. And if you don't do it, well, naturally you feel like a failure, and you hear your dad's voice in your head again, and he's like, I told you you'd be a failure, you suck. You're going to be homeless. You're fucking me. Fuck you, Dad. And then everyone looks in the office and wonder why you scream, fuck you, Dad, at the top of your lungs while you're working on the computer.
I'm waiting for the rant the week after Sean Kay learns the joys of Unix.
Unix, I don't do Unix.
You don't want to.
That's... No, Sean should.
Sorry, I hate to say this, but shouldn't that line
Unix
be...
Unix gives me a
don't do
fucking headache.
I don't do Windows. I would like to learn this, but you must understand. I mean, everyone who's out there has ever learned computer shit. People who call down people who know less than them on computers are fucking idiots, okay? Anyone who says, oh, you don't know shit, well, that's fine, okay, if these people don't know shit and they don't want to learn it, as I was just doing. But if you don't know shit and you're trying to learn it and people call you down, well, you're a fucking goof, okay? That's just ignorant. Because everybody was there. I'm sorry. No one was born with the Mother Superior Dune knowledge of fucking computers, okay? It doesn't happen.
I know one guy, and you do too.
No, he wasn't born with it. He acquired a keyboard shortly after exiting the womb.
Okay. Technically, okay. Yes.
He was on the mailing list before he exited the womb.
Replaced his umbilical cord with an I.O. port.
Yeah, this is quite seriously, this is our man Cybertech, if he happens to be listening tonight, which I doubt he is.
He's actually working.
I made the closest joke that this fucking Luddite you see before you could do on computer lingo.
You're very cool. I hereby dub you cool. Okay, so it's like
Captain of Team Cool Guy.
Team Cool Guy, Captain. It's like the guy fucking speaks binary. He's crazy. But in any case, I am not at that level. I'm not even close to that level. I'm not the least net experienced and computer oriented in the room. But I got an IT job and I got to fucking perform. And my boss is scared that I'll leave because, I mean, seriously, I lose sleep over this shit because the next day you've got to go back and you've got to have the solutions. And I don't have the solutions. I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. I have no fucking plan. And you have to go back in there and pull it off. So
you're having that neat experience of actually getting something to work and going, cool.
It actually worked. It was a high. I did that. I diagnosed when...
I dodged a bullet another day.
That's exactly what it is. I actually went in there when their network went down hard because of the cabling issue. I diagnosed and put that network up cold, never having touched network before in 10 hours, which is stellar. Okay, as far as I'm concerned, people say, "Well, that's not that great. I could have done it in 20 minutes." Yeah, sure. If you know what the fuck's wrong, you drop into a network you've never even fucking seen before. It's all fucked up, man. You guys are assholes, and I have to fucking fix this. Okay, first of all, I must quell the inertial instinct to kill you. Must not kill person. Hello. Must not kill person. How are you today? Must not kill fucking guy. Must not kill a guy. My fucking network's down. Must not kill network. I have to go to the bathroom. Must not kill.
Yes, I got it.
I'm going back to the bathroom. Must not kill.
Find it within yourself. Your cave.
Fill up.
What is your animal?
Slide.
And I sit down, I must not kill, and I fill up, you know, the drinking glass in the bathroom and pour it into the toilet really slowly so it sounds like I'm taking a really long piss. Must not kill.
Just keep
fucking God,
hey,
man.
It could be worse. It could be contractors. Keep telling yourself that. They're not contractors.
They are contractors. They're construction contractors. It's a construction contractor firm. Italian construction contractors.
What's the name of this
group? It is worse.
What is the name of this group?
I can't say that.
Fuck
it. They're Brandon Construction.
Brandon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, locally, I don't know if anyone really cares, but there's a company called Marcon. I recently found out that Marcon is related to the Filipponi family. The Filipponi family is our local version of the mob.
But in any case...
Okay, so I know, like, the guy who owns and operates Marcon Construction is a family friend of mine. My grandfather got him into business. No, he's not.
This is basically what I was talking. I was talking with a couple people. Apparently, Marcon is somehow connected with the Filipponis.
Okay. Be that as it may. Doesn't really matter. Isn't related. I'm not working for Marcon. Who gives a fuck? So, the point of the matter is... Debate. Are they? Are they not?
He's wrong.
So, in any case... just let it... and the subtle status again. So I don't know. What do you guys think? You guys are all fucking listening now, and you've heard my little rant about what's happening. What do you think? Should I stick this thing out or what? Give me confidence. Fuck that. You know, give me a break. I don't really care. I'm gonna keep doing it because they're paying me good money. What the fuck? You know, it's $14 an hour straight cash, and when I'm out in the field, it's $22 an hour. So who really cares? But I mean, you know.
Trust me, I have been trying to find a job for the last good, like, 8 months.
Oh, employment sucks, man. I went from zero to hero in 2 days because a buddy of mine handed me this job. Here you go, gold platter.
I cannot fucking believe. Before this, I had four different fucking companies. Like, about 2 years ago, I had four different companies who basically wanted to fucking hire me. I went with one. I made the wrong fucking decision. Now, I spent the last 8 months trying to find a fucking job, and I'll tell you, there is fucking nothing out there.
Oh, absolutely. My girlfriend's looking for a job right now, and she's having a brutal time. And she's, like, gone through college and shit.
This place is...
And a wicked artist.
This place is... BC is quite literally at the worst I have ever fucking seen.
No comment.
I have never spent more than 2.5 months. Was like the longest I had ever spent up to this point trying to find a fucking job. Our economy could not be any more fucking worse if, like, fucking... Did he actually win? Dushan's is the fucking premier?
Okay, so moving right along,
Kurtberg
has a rant, so we're going to... Actually, we'll let her...
He's one of those crooked white fuckers.
Don't trust those people further than you control. White fuckers? I can't stand them.
Yeah, kill all the white men.
We make
all
fun
the white
of the odd racial stereotype once in a while, because, you know, it's funny. But really, when it comes right down to it, white people are shifty as fuck. I don't trust them.
Yeah, they kill everybody. You know, I'm white. I kill.
Do you want to know why European stock is so fucking mean? Look.
Get back to our heritage.
Let's
start taking land away from people.
Just look.
Here, have some blankets. Fuck.
Look at exactly where the fuck Europeans evolved in. Look at the weather in that place.
Before we go any further, Kurtbert had a rant on the governmental subject, and goddammit, he's going to get a chance to say it.
Okay.
Here we go, Kurtbert.
It's about technical state in D.C. I just finished, like, 3 years of schooling to become an electronics technician that I can do the shit that Sean's talking about. Okay? I spent 3 years of my sweat and my Paris money.
honestly, yeah.
Yeah. I went through those three years with a guy who just came from Hong Kong, previous to school, of course. He has an engineering degree, mechanical engineering. He just came from Hong Kong after spending 3 years as a team leader for a major electronic firm in Hong Kong. The minute he walked off the plane when he got here, he had a job at one of our local electronic distributors. Manufacturers. Why? Because they know after the 3 years and he gets his certification to work in BC, they have an engineer on their hand. Not just a guy who, like me, who's learning the ropes. No, they have an engineer. My job does not exist anymore because all of these guys coming from Hong Kong and other countries that don't have the certification here, they spend the 3 years in the same program I do, they have instant jobs. Can I find a job? No. I can't even find a fucking job soldering the cheapest, low-ass job you can ever imagine doing in the electronics field. Soldering. I can't get
California.
That. Yeah, right.
Unfortunately...
About becoming a porn star?
Unfortunately, Kurtbert basically is into property. He has the dreaded M word. Mortgage.
Ooh, that's really bad. I try to avoid that. But, you know, whatever. I don't know...
But no, seriously, like I was talking about it, you think about it, why the fuck were Europeans... Ryan, you're really making horrible noises with the cord.
Just keeping everybody awake.
Okay. Why the hell is basically, why are Europeans so fucking mean? Look at where we evolved. Look at Europe. Where other place really on the world does the weather routinely, every year, try to fucking kill you?
Canada?
Yeah, well, I know, exactly.
The prairies. Every summer, you have deer standing in the road.
And why is... why
because
is
they want
bored,
to die.
Because they're bored. And in the wintertime, there's a semi coming. It's white. 4 miles. It's like a white piece of paper, and there's one black dot with lights on it coming out of the distance.
You know,
and the deer stand there in the middle of the road with a smoke in their mouth going, well, that's fucking it for me. I'm going to come back as a fucking eagle or some shit, because this
you
is fucking over.
You notice the topographical difference, though, between, say, the prairies over here in North America and Europe. Where the white people came from. Well, you know, there's actual topography. You can hide from the weather. You can sort of survive and tough it out. Prairies, you're fucked.
Oh, you are fucked. It's void. Remember the never-ending story,
the
great nothing? It's on the prairies.
It beat the native Indians into the ground. They were easy pickings for us.
They didn't live there. The Indians did not live in the prairies. Nobody lived in the prairies. Groundhogs didn't live in the fucking prairies.
Just take a plane ride from Toronto to Vancouver and look out the window the whole way and see how excited you get by, wow, there's a lot of fields.
No, I'll tell you the worst fucking thing. Try taking the bus through the fucking prairies. Yep, Sean's done it. Ryan's done it.
Just talking about the whole European connection there, I'd like to apologize to both Sean Kennedy, the man, and Dak, who of Irish descent, mine being Saxon. We didn't have any blacks to pick on.
Yeah, exactly. I know. It's like these people were so mean they couldn't wait to like colonize, you know, the different little jungle bunnies that we would eventually run into. No. They had to build their own Welcome to the Irish, you know.
Yeah, it's fucking brutal. But I mean the funny thing is
I grew up in New York. Okay, let's put it this way.
I'd like
to make something very, very clear. I am not racist. I really don't give a shit what the fuck somebody's color is.
I'm not racist. I know lots of black people.
No. Seriously, I don't care what anybody's color is. I do not care. However, I will admit right now for anyone to hear, I am the biggest cultural bigot on the face of the earth. If you do not have my culture,
I don't like you. I don't want you here. If you come here, you have to adopt my culture or you can get the fuck out.
Culture is another word for bacteria. I don't want your bacteria.
Okay, no, I mean, basically, if you do not adopt a North American culture when you come here, go the fuck home. Look at what basically happened when my ancestry came here. When the Irish basically fucking descended on North America in mass because we were starving.
Yeah, by the British who starved us out. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, by the way, we won't even go into that story. But okay. But anyhow.
What about the Scottish?
What about me? What about the Scottish?
What?
Kwasinski? Yeah, that's a really solid Scottish.
And we beat the shit out of them years ago.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We're a hardy people.
You're not Scottish.
I'm Scottish Polish.
A Scottish Polack named Kwasinski. Shouldn't that be like Mick Kwasinski?
It was a lowland.
It was too hard to say.
You know why Polack like all of Kwasinski? Do you know why all the Polack names end with ski?
Oh, wait a minute. I don't think I've heard this one before. Lay it on me, Sean.
Because they're too fucking dumb to spell toboggan.
Oh, that's a new one. Shut up.
I mean, here's one for Sean and with the Irish theme.
Oh, yes.
The difference between lace curtain Irish and shanty Irish. Lace curtain Irish, take the dishes out of the sink before they piss in it. All right. Fuck you. So, moving right along.
No. Let's. Girl on the left, I grew up in New York. I grew up in the largest melting pot on the face of the earth. And I love people who would basically come there and would hold on to part of their culture, but yet would adapt to the new culture.
It is not melting pot American philosophy there, girl on the left. Okay, the multicultural concept is some BC bullshit. It does not work. You want multiculturalism? No. You have tribes. You go to Richmond, what do you have? You have the Chinese tribe. You go to Surrey, what do you have? You have the East Indian tribe. It's not multicultural. You don't have these people. They come into a community and they ghettoize. That's exactly what it is. They fall into a ghetto-wise subsection.
Do you know what basically the word ghetto basically means? It means an enclosed society. It means its own town.
Fucking totally. And you cannot tell. How do you get from India to fucking China? Take the Alex Fraser fucking bridge, man. That is the way it is. It is not racism. It's geography, motherfucker. Look at it.
I mean,
these people, they wall themselves the fuck in there. Some of them don't even speak the language, which is cool, whatever. It pisses me off.
That's what pisses me off.
Except when you have to deal with them, trying to get parts or something.
That's what